You're insecure, don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough. Everyone else in the room can see it. Everyone else but you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell. You don't know, oh, oh. You don't know you're beautiful. If only you saw what I can see.
Oh, well, aren't they dreamy? Aren't they dreamy, One Direction? Fantastic. If you have a teenage girl, she will, and you have the radio on, she will have come pelting from some part of the house as soon as One Direction was heard on the radio, the Irish-British boy band who are in Australia at the moment. And as I say, have induced mass screaming. I can remember I felt exactly the same way about the Monkees. What are girls doing when they're screaming and carrying on like that? Is it good for them? Is it bad for them? And do we worry about them? I suppose I think of these boy bands as sort of like a emerging sexuality with training wheels on. That's what the way I think about them. With me is Danielle Miller. She's the CEO of Enlighten Education and author of The Butterfly Effect. And her new book is The Girl with the Butterfly Tattoo. She's very interested in how our teenage girls are doing. And if you'd like to join the conversation, please do. We'd love to chat with you. 1-300-222, I'll say that again, 1-300-222-5576 is the number. So do, as I say, give us a hoy. Hello, Danielle Miller. Welcome to the program.
Lovely to be here.
Now, tell us about your girls. They went to see One Direction, and what was the reaction there?
I tell you what, I am up for Mother of the Year. I was in yesterday talking to the crew at Mornings at Channel 9, so I was able to get them past the security gates, and David Campbell was kind enough to sneak them into the side of the set, and we got to see One Direction. They actually walked past us, Wendy, on their way out, much to my daughter's excitement, and as I yelled out, "Well done, boys," they turned and waved at my little girl, and she's only 13. She burst into tears, shaking, so, so excited. And as you can imagine, nothing's real in teen girl world till it's posted on Facebook. So we then spent the rest of the night telling her Facebook friends about her very exciting close encounter with 1D.
As I say, you are Mother of the Year. Now, you and I have had our words about this, haven't we? We've had our difference of opinion. Because I wonder, I know you write a lot about what girls go through, that the lack of self-esteem they go through in the teen years and so forth. And I've sometimes questioned you, and I've said, but didn't we all have those pressures on us when we were teen girls? Weren't we all feeling clunky and, you know, embarrassed, and we didn't like our bodies and wanted to be more beautiful? And you really, you don't agree with me. You think that the pressures on girls these days are much greater than they ever have been.
Yeah, I do. And can I say, though, that I've loved those debates, because I think they're really healthy and important debates for us to be having. There is a lot of talk about teen girls being in crisis, and there are, you know, a group of people who seem to think, well, you know, it's difficult for us as well. It certainly was. I mean, the teen years have always been tumultuous. It's the nature of that period of adolescence. However, there are more pressures placed on girls today. We know that today young girls are bombarded with marketing messages, and in fact teenage girls, so young girls even before the age of 12, are really being directly marketed too. The average young person today sees between 400 and 500 commercial messages a day, and that's a big increase from when we grew up. Also, the camera constantly lies to this generation of girls. So while we had genetically gifted girls presented to us, and we may have had some airbrushing in terms of errant hairs being removed, today women that they see present as models of beauty are really genetically, you know, computer engineered. I mean, they're not even close to reality.
Sure.
And these create huge pressures on girls. Combine that with the fact that there's more academic pressures on them as well to excel and to go to university, along with the marketing mix of, you know, alcopops and drugs and alcohol, and it is difficult and it's trying. Our girls are doing well, but they still really do struggle.
There is a statistic here that I found very, very interesting. Well, I'm not really sure what the source of this is, I have to say, but girls aged 12 to 15 are more than three times as likely as boys of the same age to drink alcohol at least once a week. So they're drinking more than the boys.
They are, and isn't that a surprise? I mean, we are a nation of drinkers, but it is teen girls who are absolutely the biggest binge drinking demographic. And there are a few reasons for that. When I asked girls as part of the research for my book, The Girl with the Butterfly Tattoo, why they drink, they gave reasons that might be similar to the reasons we would have given as teens, curiosity, boredom, but they gave reasons that actually surprised me. They said that it's delicious to drink. And that shocked me because I remember sort of holding my nose and sculling. But nowadays, of course, we have the very sugary sweet Alcopops and they are directly marketed at the very young female market. And Choice Magazine did a really interesting survey. For ethical reasons, they had to use 18-year-old girls. But in a blind taste test, half of those girls couldn't even taste which drink had alcohol in it when given a range of sort of sugary soft drinks. So it's delicious to get smashed, girls say. And they also tell us that it makes it easier to lose their inhibitions and sort of behave in a quite worldly way. And that's a pretty frightening, I guess, concept for us as parents.
Well, Hannah is with us. Hannah's given us a call from, she's in Victoria. Hello, Hannah.
Hi, Wendy. I once interviewed you for Radio National. I'm very excited to be on your program.
Well, you know, you hang around long enough and everything comes around
that's
again.
Right.
That's true, Hannah. You're worried about this alcohol with young girls. Do you have a teenager in your house?
Well, she's 20, thank God. I mean, what I'm saying is maybe she isn't the demographic that we're concerned about. I'm an educator, Wendy, in Melbourne, in the universities and TAFEs here, and we see it here in the CBD in Melbourne. As you know, this is a terrible phenomenon, and it's very, very scary. Mm. And having said, my son, who was only 15 years old, he did actually get rather drunk and he ended up in the Alfred Hospital. Mm. I know we're talking about girls now, but as you said, the girls, it's a bigger phenomenon even, you know, the binge drinking.
Well, there are some people, thanks Hannah, there are some people who would say that we are engaged in some kind of moral panic about our girls, Danielle.
And I think that those people would be right in the sense that we do tend to police and patronise girls when we engage in discussion around these issues. We don't tend to ask them what they think or actually work with them. So the key to working with young girls around issues like whether it be body image or drinking is education, not moral panic and banning and screaming and tisking and tusking. And it's also embracing emotions, because teen girls are emotional creatures. If you can capture their heart, their mind follows. So when I go into schools, we work with 20,000 girls a year across Australia and New Zealand. You know, the last thing you want to do is give them the 10-point dot plan on why they shouldn't be drinking, because that's just going to alienate them. What you do need to talk to them about is making healthy choices and explaining to them how they can make choices safely as well. Mm. But I also have to say, I think that we as adults need to also own the fact that we don't always model good behaviours around any of these things.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I have absolutely
Not even just drinking though, Wendy. I mean, so many girls will say to me, you know, I've never known my mum not to be on a diet, or my mum's forever putting herself down. I mean, girls can't be what they can't see. Mm. If they see women putting themselves down, dieting, binge drinking, of course they're going to think that that's what being a woman looks like and feels like.
And Hannah, how did you go with your 20-year-old? She's still with us, so you must have done a reasonable job.
Well, we are Orthodox Jewish people, but I really don't think that is such a sheltering thing, because we also have times in our Jewish calendar twice a year where it appears to be a good thing to be drunk. You know, can you believe that? And this is the time when the young people come out in the synagogue and they actually are drunk on the street and they end up in the Alfred Hospital. So no religious group, except for the Muslims who really cannot drink for their religious beliefs, they're not allowed. They are the only ones, I believe, who are immune. And I'm talking about from a parent's point of view and an educator's point of view.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's critical that we do look at issues like drinking from a whole of society perspective, not just target teen girls. Yes. I think you're right, Wendy, that we do tend to go into moral panic a bit because we expect girls to be sugary sweet and nice and ladylike. And so when we see in media images of girls sort of drunk in a gutter somewhere, we tend to be particularly alarmed. You know, we should be equally alarmed if it was a young boy or an older person. So this isn't sort of about being differentiating on gender. It's about saying healthy choices generally need to be made, particularly for young people, because they are a work in progress, their brain is still developing, and the mistakes they make can, you know, end up with them being in hospital.
Thank you, thanks for that, Hannah.
Thank you very much, Wendy, lovely to speak to you.
If you'd like to join the conversation, we very much love you to jump on. 1300 225576 is our number here at Life Matters on RN. Let's talk about dieting. Now, I'll go back to one of these statistics here. Almost 7 in 10 15-year-old girls are on a diet, and of those, 8% are severely dieting. Mm.
Yeah, look, this is something that I am really deeply concerned, and it affects me at both a professional level as someone who works with young women and at a personal level as someone who has daughters. We have a generation who seem to think the ultimate glass ceiling is their bathroom mirrors. So this generation of girls literally want to take up less and less space, and they are very caught up and preoccupied with body image and with size. And the definition of beauty that they see defined by the media is incredibly narrow. They can't fit unless they take up less size. So I also see this creeping in very young girls. I have mothers, you know, telling me that their 6-7-year-old daughter is crying, saying she looks fat in a particular outfit or lamenting her body. You know, this is really disturbing stuff.
I have to say that I've got friends who were over it recently, and the daughter who was 8 said that she wanted to shave her legs.
Yeah.
Because her legs were too hairy at 8.
Look, we just, you know, it can be very disturbing when we see this because to us, of course, they're gorgeous, they're beautiful, we're so proud of them. We want them to see themselves as whole, not just view their bodies as their only form of currency. And I believe that although the onset of eating disorders has sort of plateaued out, the reported incident, we really do have a lot of disordered eating patterns.
Well, I was going to say, well, the other side of that, of course, is lots of girls who are overweight. Jen is with us. She's given us a call from New South Wales. And hello, Jen.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You have two teen daughters. What are you seeing in their behaviour at the moment?
Okay, I've been really concerned about this since they were really young. They're very beautiful girls, and since they've been little, people have said, oh, they should be models. Well, I'm really against that whole concept, so I just really downplay that one. But in spite of being tall, blonde, thin, beautiful, every day I tell them how beautiful they are. They're obsessed with their appearance, and they're really worried that they're ugly. And my youngest one in particular insists on wearing a big push-up bra, which, you know, puts her to a D cup, and all her friends are doing this. And if she doesn't do this, she's mercilessly teased at school about being flat-chested, which, of course, you would be flat-chested when you're tall and thin. So I'm just really struggling with trying to get through to them that it's okay to look how you are, even though they're beautiful. So I think it'd be even harder if they, you know, are struggling with their weight or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Danielle's got some thoughts there for you.
Yeah, look, I can completely empathise. When I work with young girls, again, I'm staggered by how gorgeous they are, and yet they are plagued by self-doubt. In fact, the research shows us that. Body image is the number one concern for teens across Australia, particularly for teen girls. 25% of teen girls say they'd like to change everything physically about themselves. So I think the key is that we need to get our girls to focus on the fact that they are more than just a body. Yeah. So when we compliment our girls, don't focus just on their appearance. Say things like, you know, you're gorgeous and funny and smart and interesting and kind, and diversify that perspective.
And, you know, beautiful is as beautiful does. Now,
absolutely.
Go in there and clean up your room.
Yeah, but you know what? The other difficult thing is, and you hit on a really interesting point there, that the images they see of beauty do tend to be almost skeletal thin with big breasts, and that's all surgically enhanced. So we have the mainstream of cosmetic surgery. I mean, I have third-degree burns on my arm and neck, and for me as a little girl, girl, plastic surgery was an option, you know, to literally patch me back together. Oh. Today, plastic surgery is an option that's being directly marketed at girls in their 20s, you know, to enhance breasts, at girls in their 30s and 40s, you know, the Botox. It's just mainstream madness. Mm. And so we really need to focus on giving our girls a more balanced sense of who they are and diversifying that out. But we are up against it because there are some very savvy marketers out there.
Mm, exactly. Thank you there for that, Polly. And Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Has given us a hoy from New South Wales. And you've got a 10-year-old who's on a diet.
Oh, she's hysterical about dieting. She's not fat. She's not even remotely fat. But she believes part of being a girl, along with makeup and whatever else, is dieting. And it doesn't matter how many times I've told her there's nothing wrong with her weight, she wants to diet.
You know what? This is heartbreaking when I hear stories like this. And unfortunately, I hear them all the time. And I bet you there's lots of listeners who can empathise again. And unfortunately, also, as parents, sometimes it's difficult for us to get through. They just sort of roll their eyes at us and go, of course you have to say that, Mum. Which is why it can be really great to connect your daughter to alternative media messages and alternative marketing messages. So rather than let her just sort of be hit with the teen girl magazines that do only show one image of beauty and with pop culture that only presents that as well, you have to really be quite creative as a mum to seek alternatives. One of the things I did was design an iPhone app, which is free. Everyone can download from my website. And every day girls get a body loving affirmation, a quote from an inspiring woman, a link to a body positive website. I mean, you know, it's almost got to the point where I feel as a mum that I have to go and make this stuff because it just isn't out there. They can download that from enlighteneducation.com. That's our website. Okay. But you're right to be concerned. And if this becomes entrenched and if you are concerned, I would actually act. Now, if you, and I'm not saying she has an eating disorder at all, please don't get me wrong there, but as parents generally, if we start to notice changes in behaviour and changes in eating that we're concerned about, act, because the sooner we can target that behaviour and modify it, the better, and you can get specialist support to do that.
Yeah, I think at the age of 10, Elizabeth, that might be the call for you to get stuck in on this one, I think. Thanks so much for giving us a call. It was very kind of you give us... What a shame we've run out of time. There's so much to talk about in this. I'm sure that, Danielle, you'll be back here at RN with Natasha when she gets back. I'm sure she would love to talk to you. So thanks very much for being with us. Danielle Miller, CEO of Enlighten Education and author of The Butterfly Effect, and her new book is called The Girl with the Butterfly Tattoo.